If I could have a guy that had the nose of a fox and could just smell the poop coming out of Hibana.
Hello, welcome to episode 33 of the Unrenowned Podcast, where we talk about Siege, what we like about Siege.
What we don't like about Siege.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Chris.
Why are you so loud?
I'm
you just like shouted.
No, this is normal.
Okay.
I was excited to start the podcast. Is that unacceptable behavior?
Good. No, that's good. I'm glad that you're excited and tuned in. Okay, so it's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode today just because there's not much happening in the Siege world. That tends to happen after a patch, but we will talk about our impressions on the latest mid-season reinforcements and some random topics that we have in the shoot. Shall we get into these reinforcements?
Yeah.
So, Lion, how are you feeling about the Lion change?
So, at first, I bought him today and played with him a little bit.
Did you not have him?
No.
Whoa.
Well, I just had no reason to buy him.
How many do you not have still?
Just two. Just Vigil and Dokubi.
You're not missing anything.
Vigil, Dokubi, and Finca.
Yeah. And those are like... For some reason, there's this like period where I just like did not care about any of the new operators, and that's part of that period.
Yeah. So anyway, before I had bought Lion, I kind of liked it because I felt like we were actually getting information from the pings, whereas before it was like you'd ping it and it would make them stand still, so like that helped you.
Yeah.
But it didn't really, you didn't find out where they were because people were so scared of it, they'd stand still. Whereas now I feel like people aren't so scared of it because it's just pings.
Right.
That they're willing to move through it, and so it actually tells you where people's location is.
Yeah, that and also the reduced warning time. It's cut in half, so it used to be 3, now it's 1.5 seconds. And like I've noticed several times, it might just be that I need to get used to it, but I've noticed like a Lion has scanned me, and then I've like accidentally revealed my position because I just didn't stop in time.
Yeah.
It might just be the kind of thing that you have to get used to it, and then it won't happen as much, but I think that it just happens so fast that you don't necessarily have time to like get to a safe spot and stop moving like you used to.
Yeah, and then that's true because there's, I mean, also like, well, you just said you don't have time to get to a spot like you're used to, so you have people like stopping in the middle of a hallway,
right?
And people just don't want to do that, so they'll just move through it anyway just to get to cover,
right?
But then when I bought Lion, I was only playing him in casual because I was just solo queuing, but it seemed like it was almost useless, like. I was trying to use it at important times and it just wasn't pinging anybody because people were smart enough to not move at the important times. It was like, okay, I got the pings and I know there's 3 people in objective, but it still doesn't help me because I don't know where the other 2 are and they could be anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's like, it works if everybody on the screen moves, or like if you think there might be someone in that room and they move in that room, then you're like, okay, confirm there is someone in that room.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't move, it's kind of like this false sense of security. Like, well, it didn't ping in that room, but at the same time, it's like there's
that doesn't mean anything in there. Yeah, I think what this allows for is to use it much more tactically than you used to be able to, and just like because it happens so fast, you can sort of like it's easier to time a charge with your team to make it happen, you know, and to like just hit it as you're running in and be able to get that advantage during a push.
Right.
So I think that's cool. Yeah, I think that's basically it online.
Yeah, I don't know where he's gonna go from here. It's, I mean, we have to wait till the next round of what's that called?
The designer notes.
Yeah, our next round of designer notes to where we actually can see his location on the charts. But I mean, I don't know. I was expecting more. I was expecting it to be more exciting, and it's just meh.
Okay. I don't think he'll move very much. I think he's in a pretty good spot right now. Like he's a little bit underpicked, but
yeah.
But his win rate is just slightly negative. So like I think he's fine, and he'll move a little bit either one way or the other. But I don't think that we'll see anything huge.
Yeah.
Capitao. Oh, Capitao. I am not sure how I feel about this yet. I only played him a couple of rounds, and Capitao is one of the guys that I play quite often.
Yep.
But honestly, like, when I did play him, it actually hurt me because like I kind of forgot that the smoke or the fire stuff was gonna fall, and so like I shot it at somebody like up a staircase and it kind of like fell back onto me and I had to like retreat, and I was like, oh well, that doesn't work the way that I used to use it, you know? So it's like now I have to think about it entirely differently than I used to. So I think I will like it as I get to use it more, but I need to play him a lot more.
I think he in playing against him, I haven't played him yet with the thing, which I'm not sure why I haven't, but in playing against him, I've definitely noticed, like, as Clash, it wrecks me because it grows fast enough where it actually does, it will catch me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, exactly how big it's going to be, and that's just going to come with time. But, like, at this point in time, I don't know, like, exactly where it's going to end,
right?
Like, going, and so I'll just, like, get stuck in a corner. It's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, I had the exact same thing with Clash, where I was in a room, and there's Capitan in the next room. He shot it in at me, and I sort of committed to, like, getting closer to him, mm-hmm. and getting into a corner, and I was fine until it started expanding, and then all of a sudden it was hitting me in the corner, and I had to move, which forced me to, like, walk into his room,
yeah.
which also had, I think, two other people in there, so I was pretty much screwed. So, like, that was really cool to, like, it forced me to move because I made the wrong choice when he shot it. It forced me into a really bad situation. So that's cool. And if you can make that, if you can, as a Capitao, if you can replicate that consistently, mm-hmm. then that could be huge.
Yeah. Have you noticed the drop off at all with the arrows?
No, I never shoot them that far.
Yeah.
I mean, what is
10 meters?
10 meters. I mean, that's pretty far.
Yeah, it's a good distance. I was watching some videos and it didn't look like the drop off. Like, he was shooting across the map and it was, like, barely dropping. Mm. So it doesn't look like it's that much of a drop off.
But basically, just so you can't do, like, the shoot one little hole and then shoot the arrow through that hole across the screen, right? That's kind of the idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that works anymore.
Right.
I'm not sure if it works if you shoot straight up. Like we saw in some videos.
I would think it would still work if you were close enough. I think the idea is that you can't just, like, take your ACOG, make a pinpoint hole, and then shoot an arrow right through it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, but well, I haven't noticed it.
You can if you're smart enough. You just do the math.
Yeah, just...
just aim a little lower with the ACOG, and then aim a little higher with the arrow.
Do the math.
Right through the hole.
I'd be really impressed if somebody could get that just right.
Oh, it'd be nuts. I think there are... definitely opportunities with the, like, crossbow that we just haven't seen yet. Like, I think there's angles that you can get with that thing now that we haven't seen.
Right. Yeah. One thing I was trying to do, it just didn't work because nobody was in the right spot, but on Cafe, they were defending that top floor objective, and I was trying to, like, get into the, like, dining area below them and shoot one up into the ceiling to fall down onto, like, one of the little hidey cubby holes that they have up there. But just nobody was close enough on that side. They were all, like, back in the freezer area, so I couldn't do it. But I think, like, for stuff like that, it could be really, really good.
I wonder if you, the hatch that's in the freezer that goes down to the library?
Yes.
I wonder if that hatch is blown, you can probably get an angle. You can shoot it, like, back into the freezer where Echo or Maestro are.
You could do that with frags, I guess, too. That wouldn't be... if there's a Jaeger to stop the frags, right?
Yeah.
You go there with, like, a buck or an ash who can open the hatch for you.
Yeah.
And then you just... we should try that. Next time we hit Cafe, let's do that.
I've been playing a lot of... this isn't anything related to these patch notes, but I've been playing a lot of buck recently just to get, like, the under-the-floor hit mm-hmm. and the frag grenade, which you did. You did that on Border, the one I was explaining.
And it totally worked.
It's a good one. But I've been trying to do that recently, and it does work. You just can't, like... It's not something that you're like, oh, I'm going to do this year. And it's like, if the opportunity arises, then yes, go and do it. But don't try to do it just because, right? Like,
it requires a really, really good understanding of the maps to be able to use it effectively. Like, if there's, like, one or two maps you know really well, especially how top to bottom connects, then, like, I would suggest doing it there. But, like, people like Macy J, for example, he plays a lot of buck. And that's because he's got, like, 2,000 hours in the game, right?
Yep.
So, like, of course he knows where everything connects, and that's when it really comes into its own. So
that's what she said. That was really a good joke. Anything else about Capitao? I think
it pretty much covers it. I'm going to try to play him some more this week, and maybe I'll have some more thoughts.
Understand more.
As long as we're on the subject of the Bope, though, I've played a little more Kavera this past week. I haven't really played her since she was updated. And I think her updates are really good for her.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt like I started using her shotgun now instead of the SMG, because the SMG is garbage, but I used to use it just so I could have something at range if they were far. But now, like, I just feel like, no, the pistol can handle it at range now, you know? And so now, like, if I use my shotgun, which gives me a lot more opportunities to open holes and, make rotations and, you know, like, whatever else. But, I don't know. I really like her changes as playing her. I still hate playing against her in general. Like, it's just garbage.
Yes.
But I think she's a lot stronger than she was before.
Yeah, I think the biggest part of it too is playing against her. Like, I'm not as scared of her now as I used to be. Like, I still hate her 100%. And when pick and ban comes to ranked, she's getting banned 100% of the time as long as we're playing with a squad. But like playing against him, not like, oh, that one shot's going to kill me. It's more like I feel like it's a fair fight when I'm close up.
Yeah.
So she did have a good change a long time ago.
Okay. Nomad. So she got the idle sound cue on her air jabs and no more claymores. Did you notice anything with that at all?
I didn't know what the sound sounded like, and I was hearing this noise, and I was like, what is that noise? And I thought it was like a radio or something next to me, and I'm like looking around like, what is that? And I finally realized, like, oh, that's probably Nomad's air jab, because she's on the other team, and I don't recognize that, so I'm sure that's what it is, and it was.
So what is it, like a sort of a static sound?
It's like a weird beeping. I can't remember what it is now, but it's like a, I don't even want to try to replicate it. It's a beeping.
Like, so similar like a nitro, but like a lower frequency or higher frequency?
Yeah, it's okay. Kind of like a longer beep. It's like a like that. Okay. That could be way off, but that's the best I can remember it. I heard it like 2 times and I was like, what is that? And I finally figured it out.
So once you knew what it was, did you feel like it made a difference at all?
Yeah, I think if I was sprinting towards something, I don't think I'd recognize it fast enough or hear it fast enough to stop.
Which is probably good.
Yeah, but I think if you're trying to be careful and be smart, you will hear it and know, okay, we'll be careful right here. Because there's probably Nomad somewhere in air jab.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to play it safe, you can be safe now.
Yeah, I think that's good. I honestly have never really had too many complaints about Nomad, maybe just because I don't see her very often.
Yeah, I really don't.
But like it's never bothered me. I just feel like, oh, dang, like I probably shouldn't have run into that. But yeah, it'll be nice to know now that like I could have heard it if I was paying attention.
Yeah. Another one of those things where it's not like, well, what was I supposed to do about that?
Right.
Can I speak of something that, what was I supposed to do about that real fast?
Sure.
Okay, so this week, yesterday, my car, like clicker, the remote broke.
Oh my gosh. Okay, here we go.
The remote broke on my car, like clicker, like the plastic piece that connects it to your keyring. So I didn't have it anymore. I had it with me, but I was like, well, I can't really keep this on my keys, so it's annoying. So I left it in my car and I locked the car manually and went to my sister's house and I had my key with me. So I go inside my sister's house and I was like, oh, I forgot my backpack. So I go back out and I like go to unlock the car with my key. The stupid key that starts the car won't unlock any of the doors. So I locked myself out of my car, and it shouldn't have, because I like purposefully was like, okay, I have my key, because I've locked myself out of my car multiple times. And I was like, okay, I have my key, and I like held it in my hand while I closed the door, and I was like, no way I'm locked out of it. How could I have known that I was going to go back to my car and my key that starts the car doesn't open any of the doors? It's like, are you this is, oh, I was so frustrated. It just reminded me of Siege, because I was like, it didn't really at the time, but now that I start talking about this, it does. It's like, what was I supposed to do to stop that from happening? Like, in all honesty, how was I supposed to know?
Yeah.
Random sidetrack story, but
very random. So wait, when you bought the car, they didn't give you two different keys?
They just gave me one key. They gave me the one key.
Huh. It's that's
like
funny,
because like my
old car had two keys. One was for the doors and one was for the ignition. Uh-huh. And that's how cars, I think, used to be early 2000s or something.
Yeah.
But that's funny that you didn't get a second key.
No, I just got the one. So it's like, if I had gotten two keys, and I'd be like, okay, well, maybe I should have known. But I just had the one key and I just never.
Funny.
Anyway.
Random.
Yeah. I just thought about that when it was like, how are you supposed to know that I was supposed to do that?
Okay. Our Maestro? Girl Ying.
Oh, you got to Ying first.
Yeah. I honestly don't ever play Ying, so
the only thing I've noticed is people screwing themselves up as Ying, because they're not used to the change.
Right.
And so they're like throwing it at someone, like looking at them, and it's like taking 5 seconds to go off, and they're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, read the patch notes.
We definitely saw a teammate who just like owned himself because he threw a Ying in there, went in, and nothing happened. It was pretty funny. And he was like typing in chat, he's like, why didn't my Ying, my Candela go off? We're like, oh, dude. You gotta listen on her now, my man.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's good. This is a good change. This makes more sense. Because, too, like, if you're in a room with someone, you shouldn't be able to throw a Ying at them and have it go off immediately. There should be some sort of, like, waiting in general before just throwing this instant.
I mean, Blitz can do it, so why not Ying?
Yeah, but he can only do it every 7 seconds now. That's true. Interesting fact, if he's dead, like, say he flashes you and you kill him, like, pretty much right away, even after 7 seconds passes, you can still hear his shield like recharge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because someone killed him, and then like 5 seconds later, you heard like the zzzz, and everyone's like, wait, is this shield going off again? I was like, no, it was resetting after the 7 seconds.
That's funny.
It's like, that's funny. I didn't expect that to happen.
That's actually like, you almost think like, no, that's a bug, but then actually like, well, no, his shield's still there. It should.
Yeah, it makes
actually,
sense.
Yeah.
Good.
All right, let's just finish out Blitz as long as we're on the subject.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 7 seconds.
I tried to play him once and I got super screwed by just like
Oh, your shield was sideways,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, like, I dropped down a hatch to chase somebody, and, like, I was being reckless, right? And I knew that, yeah, I was being reckless, and I was like, I might die, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And, like, I was just chasing this guy down. And then I dropped down a hatch, and he had run out the next door, so I ran out the door, shield up, ready to flash, and he comes, and I hit my flash, and then I just die. And I was like, well, that's stupid. I got shot through my shield. And so then I watched the kill cam, and actually, Blitz was holding his shield, like, at an angle, like, a diagonal angle to himself. Like, just, like, crossing his body, like, and not, like, front-facing, but, like, side-facing. So, like, I'm, like, trying to block bullets with the freaking edge of the shield, like a freaking lightsaber or something.
Was that just a kill cam bug, or do you think that was actually...
I don't
actually...
know, but, like, that's what it looked like on the kill cam, and I shouldn't have been shot that easily, because I was sprinting at him ready to flash. Like, it was stupid.
Because I have seen that as, like, clash when I've died, that my shield, like, in the kill cam, it looks like my shield is sideways, but I don't think it actually is. I think it was just the kill cam.
Yeah, but either way, but like, I was facing him direct on, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it must have been a headshot, because I had no damage, and I died instantly, so, like... I don't know. I record it, so I'll have to go back and, like, see or whatever. But anyway, that was the one time I tried to play him, and I died immediately, and then was so frustrated that I didn't play him the rest of the night. So
yeah, that's my problem with Blitz. I just hate dying through my shield.
It's just so inconsistent that it's, like, untenable. Like, I just cannot. It's so annoying.
I do think the flash time is good, though, because it's nice. Like, if he doesn't kill you right away, then you have a chance against him instead of just, like, flash. Ugh. Flash, like, you have no chance to even see again once you're blinded the one time,
right?
Whereas, like, now it's like, if you can get away after that first flash, you have another 4 seconds before you can flash you again.
Yeah, I do still think the 7 seconds is quite a long time, but I would like to actually be able to play him and try it out to really know. Echo IQ can now detect Echo when he's using his PDA. Do you notice anything? I don't know, you're playing IQ against... Weren't you purposely trying to do IQ?
Yeah, I was trying to do that, and it was just hard to know as IQ, like, which was his PDA. You can tell because it just kind of, like, moves just a little bit, so you can see, like, one gadget's, like, kind of moving around.
Mm.
So you know what it is, but it's hard to see it, and, like, all these other gadgets, you have to, like, look really close to the screen, like, okay, that's a ADS, like, this is that. And then, like, you finally find him, then you have to, like, get below him, and then, like, he has to still be on it that whole time.
Right.
It's, like, it's hard to get that, like, stupid, like, always on his PDA, I'm going to shoot you through the wall kill.
Right.
But if you can do it, it's cool.
Yeah, I think this is not something that you, like, adjust your whole game around, no. Right? This is just something that's like, hey, if you play IQ, here's a little bonus for you.
Yeah.
And if you play Echo, you got to be a little more careful.
Yeah.
Although, like, I play a lot of Maestro, and I don't think ever once have I had an IQ, like... get me because she found me on my phone.
And I don't think most IQ players are looking for that, honestly. I think every once in, obviously, the vigils and the pulses you'll see because they're moving around a lot,
mm-hmm.
and that's easy to notice. But
can you see Vigil when he's cloaked?
Mm-hmm, you can.
Whoa.
Yeah, so you can see both of them, and it's easy to see them because they're, like, visually moving across your screen.
Right.
Whereas, like, Maestro or Echo's phone up is, like, I mean, it's barely moving just a little bit. You have to really pay attention.
Yeah.
I will say, though, playing, like, the IQ I have recently has really helped against Legion. Like, I've killed a lot of Legion mines just thrown out, and it's helped a lot.
Yeah, I feel the same way with Thatcher. Just, like, when I know there's a Legion out, and I'm, like, pushing a choke point, I just toss an EMP in there, and, like, very frequently I'll get, like, 2 or 3 goos out of it, and just, like, good. Like, that saved me, like, 30 damage trying to get down that staircase. I would be interested, though, like, if you're an IQ main... I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this echo change and then also some more generally, like, how often you actually notice people on cameras and stuff and you're able to use that in any significant way.
Yeah.
So if that's you, send that in the podcast feedback channel in the Discord. I'd really be interested to hear about that. Kaid, we'll save Maestro for last. Kaid, the Age 3 damage was increased. I played a little bit of Kaid. I don't know that I ever got into much combat with him where I saw the difference.
Yeah, I really wouldn't even notice because I never used the Age 3 in the first place.
Mm.
I've barely played Kaid, just right. I didn't care about him.
Right.
So
I just feel like he's such an inferior version of Bandit that it's just silly.
Yeah.
Like, unless there's an objective where you're super concerned about the hatches, you know? Like, other than that, I just don't see a reason. I should actually try using him on a Chalet Kitchen, because that stupid kitchen hatch is always a problem.
Oh, yeah, true.
That'd be a good spot, I think.
Yeah, that would be.
Okay. Maestro. So So actually, I haven't played him that often since this happened. Like, I've been trying to, but a lot of people have been picking him.
Mm-hmm.
So I just haven't had as much time. But I don't think we talked about this last time because I don't think we knew about the trick.
Nope.
Okay, so somebody posted this on the Reddit that, like, you can, when you place your evil eye, you can point it straight up at the ceiling, and then a Twitch drone cannot destroy it. Like, she shoots it once to stun it, it opens the window, but the angle is such that whether it's on the ground or on the wall or whatever, if you point it looking straight up, she can't get the angle on the actual gadget inside the bulletproof visor.
Mm-hmm. We tried this on house, we tried it in a couple different places to try to make it work, where Twitch could still tested kill it.
Yeah.
There is no way. Not happening.
Right. Yeah, it cannot be done as far as we can tell. There may be like some very specific spots where you might be able to get the right angle, but for the most part, like, Twitch cannot.
Yeah, especially because her drone can't jump anyway. So
right.
It's hard to get above it. The only way to get above it is if you're up like on a balcony or upstairs or something and it's down the stairs.
Right. And even then it's very tricky.
Yeah, because you can only look so far down with the Twitch drone.
Yeah. So obviously, if you're Maestro and you're pointing your evil eye straight up in the air, then they become useless for your team because now they can't turn them and see anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good way, at least during the prep phase, to just hop on real quick, throw it up looking at the ceiling so you don't lose it stupidly. Or if you see her coming, you know, if you see a shock drone coming at you, you could do that. I wonder, like, once you get stunned, you can't turn it probably,
no.
Right?
No.
Yeah, so you'd... But it'd be cool to kind of bait it, you know, wait for it to get just close enough and then shoot it up so you waste one charge.
Yeah.
Probably
waste two because she'd probably try to shoot it again.
Yeah, she might. At least for the first little while until people figure it out. But, I mean, that's good. At least that's something. Mm. One thing that drove me nuts about it was like, okay, now that's one extra thing that I have to do during the prep phase, right? Like, I've always complained about Maestro's prep phase is just like insanely like crowded of stuff you have to do. So it's just one more thing. Now when I put down my evil eyes, I have to hop on for a second, shoot it up the ceiling. And it only takes, 2.5 seconds probably, but it's enough to 5 more seconds off my prep phase that already is too short, right? So
I have found at the prep phase, this takes focus, but if I'm focusing like before the prep phase actually starts, right. And I start mapping out in my mind exactly what I'm going to do, I almost always have time.
Right.
Like,
if I have it well
like
planned.
10 more seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. If you know what you're like, if you're running around trying to figure out what to do, especially with somebody like Maestro or like Echo or whatever, then it really feels short. If I know exactly what I'm doing, most times it's okay. But there's some times where like the places I put my evil eyes are so far apart or whatever that it just takes so long to get it all done, especially if I have to pick up armor. And put down reinforcements and barbed wire. Like, it's a lot to do.
Team kill.
Oh, yeah, of course. The other thing is not getting distracted by drones. Like, as Maestro, I've learned, if it's not in my path, just let it go.
Yeah. I've been trying to play Twitch recently, too, to purposefully kill the Maestro camps. Uh-huh. I have not been able to.
Interesting.
It's just hard to get it in there without getting the Twitch drone killed and then playing against Maestro in the first place is five and whatever, like 20 chance.
Yeah.
So it's hard just to play against him.
Yeah. His pick rate is like 20%.
Yeah.
So one in five matches you'll actually be against him. I think that's true of most of these changes for these guys. Like, none of these are like huge reworks. I guess Lion and Capitar are pretty big, but other than that, like, there's such small tweaks. It's like you really won't notice this unless like you're a Maestro main or whatever, or like you're playing against that IQ main or whatever, you know. Like, I think for the most part, people, you just won't notice these things.
Yeah.
But I am interested to pick up some of these operators a little more in depth for the next week or so and try to figure them out.
So I've been talking a lot on the podcast. Is that all we have to talk about from the patch?
I think that's it for these guys.
I'm excited for the next actual patch, though. Not like the operators, sure, cool. I'm excited for the map rebirth.
Oh, yes.
Rebirth.
Rework?
There's
rebuff?
Rework was what I was... I think I was trying to go for rework and rebuff, and I got rebirth.
Yeah, what did they call it, though?
They probably called it a rebirth.
Probably.
I think reworks. Yeah, they call it map buff, so they call it map reworks. Anyway, I'm excited for the next one, which is Cafe. Yeah,
Cafe. I'm so excited. It looks so good from what we saw. I hope they give us more teasers.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope it is actually good. I hope it's not like you play it and like, oh, this is worse, like Hereford, which I don't think it will, because Hereford, and I still will not ever understand why they just redid the whole entire thing.
Right.
And they said that they learned from that. They said they learned let's keep the parts that work and change the parts that don't work. It's like
Hereford good. Basement was super fun. Like that was way fun as it was. There was not really a reason to just completely.
The one problem was just
screwed up.
One way to go up and down. That was the one problem.
Yeah,
that needed to be fixed. But anyway, I was going to say after that. Oh, so I've talked about the on the podcast about playing Valkyrie and like using a Valkyrie cam and a C4 underneath the floor to like see where they are.
I don't know if you've ever said this on the podcast.
I have. Okay. I talked about it during Valkyrie Spotlight, and then I talked about it like another time.
Yeah,
I
said
we should try this. Anyway, the goal to put a Valkyrie cam somewhere, put a C4 underneath the floor, know where it is, and then when they walk over that spot, leave your black eye and hit the C4 and kill them.
Right.
So I tried it today just like as a joke a couple of times, and like pretty much every time I tried it, I got a kill. I did it in high traffic areas, and I got a kill like multiple times. And it's so satisfying.
That's awesome.
And it would work even better if the best way to do it, honestly, is probably if there's like a maestro playing, because they're already going to be on their evil eyes, so you can just place it on the floor and tell maestro, hey, tell me when they walk over that spot.
Yeah.
And that's going to require teamwork, right? Or if you're playing Clash, you can tell someone, hey, can you put a C4 under this spot, and I'll lure them there, and then you can blow it up.
Yeah.
That would work really well too. But it works so well just like watching this camera until they finally walk in the door and then blow them up. Like, what are they supposed to do about that?
These are things like, this is where I feel like the case for a smaller map pool is like really good, because it's like like if you limit it to like, let's say 5 maps,
okay,
like that's a small enough selection that you can start to think at that higher level, right? It's like most of us are not putting 40 hours a week into this game, and so we just can't reach higher level. It's funny that you even suggest I have anywhere close.
What are you doing with your time?
But like it's just
that's
like,
incredible.
None of us are going to get to that level, right? Like, and you might have one or two maps that you like, you feel really good about, and you can start doing that stuff, or like, or you like take time to set it up in a certain spot. But like, there's so many times where I think about things. It's like, oh, we should like try this strategy in this spot. I think that would really work. Like, here's a cool like trick we could do. But by the time we get back to playing that again, it's been like a week. So it's like, I'm never going to remember that I had that idea. Yeah. And so like, I just feel like that's such a good case for like, let's shrink the map pool a little bit, like just limit the variables. Even if it's like every season they rotate, like, okay, this season it's going to be these 5 maps in ranked and they're totally different. Right.
Yeah. That, and then the repeating attack and repeating defense.
Yeah. That too. That's because huge.
That's a huge one where you're like, oh, we should try that next time. Then by the time you're attacking again, you've forgotten. You're like, oh, freak, we were going to do this.
Right.
It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Fun fact, if you were to play 52 or 40 hours of this game over the 3 years that it's been out, you would have played 6,200 hours of Siege.
Did you just do that math?
I did. I used a calculator.
thank you for that fun fact.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's a lot of freaking Siege.
It's
like
a
lot
of Siege.
Yeah, there was something else that was similar to that.
Similar to what?
To the like the Nitro trick that happened when last time we were playing. I can't really remember now.
Me neither.
But no. I was thinking like it would be cool if there was somebody who had like some sort of like explosive trap or something that was activated by damage.
Yeah.
So like if like you threw a, I don't know, it's some little explosive gadget and you have to shoot it or like some like activate it with a bullet or something. Like they don't have like a remote trigger or something. Mm-hmm. So then you could like set up with like evil eyes or like I guess does anybody else have.
So it'd basically be like a canister of like some explosive material or something.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, and so then you could have them have like 4 or 5 of these things because it's not like, you know,
and you know what? You know what would be really cool is if they change. I mean, I don't want them to do this, but what if smoke's canisters were instead they were activated by being shot at, so he could place multiple at different locations. Whereas like right now he can only place one, then he has to detonate that one, and then he can place another one, he has to detonate that one. It's not like he can place 3.
Right, right.
It'd be cool if he could place all 3 of them and then detonate them by shooting them.
Yeah, I still liked your idea actually of smoke having a just being able to detonate each one individually.
Yeah, it'd be cool too.
I think for smoke in particular that would be really cool. But
yeah, but I do like that idea of being able to shoot at it and make it explode.
Right, and it could be lethal, but it's just something that's like you would be able to have a lot of them because it requires like that you're there to shoot it, right? So I think that would be
cool. I can already see like the you've got someone underneath at the super like awkward angle where they can just barely see like a pixel of it, right, and have a Clash like leading right. them into it, and like, okay, shoot,
right. Or if Clash could activate it with her with her electricity shield. Or whatever, yeah. Yeah, and like Evil Eyes especially, that'd be huge. Yeah. Like, that would work so well.
That would be really cool. That's a good op.
Yeah.
That's a cool operator. Attack or defense? Defense.
Oh, definitely defense. Another one, as long as we're on operator ideas, I had this other idea. I think this
Okay, here's a question. Uh-huh. Who gets the kill for it? Is it the person that put it down or the person that shoots it?
I think it's the gadget holder with an assist to the other person.
Okay, now what happens if the other team shoots it while someone on defense, like, it's like using T'Chaka's turret
kill.
Against
it's not them. It's not a team kill.
Okay, so wait, so then the other person will get the kill.
Oh wait, you're saying if they kill a defender with it,
yeah, like a defender's running by, an attacker sees it and shoots it while a defender runs by.
I think the attacker would get the kill,
so it wouldn't be a team kill.
Yeah,
so that's the only thing, because like Kapkan sometimes gets team kills,
right,
because like his teammates are running through at the same time. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
something to think about, kay, for an operator that doesn't exist.
Yeah. So this other operator idea I had, I think this would probably be an attacker, but what if somebody had like a focus ability where, oh, yeah, like,
I remember this,
noteworthy sounds like stand out more. So sort of like Assassin's Creed, you have like eagle vision, right, and it, like, mm-hmm, all the like important targets stand out, they're highlighted or whatever. So it would be sort of the same thing except for sound, not for vision. So like
Red Dead Redemption has a similar thing, right, where like it slows him down, he can like aim, yeah, better,
like
for
a
second,
bullet time. There I feel like there's another game, like Dishonored sort of has something like this too, but like I'm envisioning like you sort of like muffle all the other sounds, so any like ambient noise like radios and stuff would sort of like come down a lot, and like maybe even weapons fire would come down a lot, and like footsteps would just be like really amplified.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even you could have a visual indicator of like which direction the footsteps are coming from or something, just to like make it a little bit better. But I think that'd be super cool because sound is so important in this game as right. It is, like, it'd be cool to have somebody like really focus on, and this, we talked about this before when we talked about our operator ideas, which if you haven't listened to that episode, it's like episode 5 or 6 or something, and I think we had some good ideas there, and it's a fun episode, so you should go back.
Mm-hmm.
But like we were talking about, there's this huge element in the game which is like the sound, and no operators do anything with that except for Kavera a little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean Lion kind of does with just like when that's going off,
it's yeah. yeah it's, but it's sort of like,
but it's a side thing. Yeah, I don't think that was the reasoning behind it. I think it was
right. And I just think, like, for most other things in this game that are huge, like for breaching, for example, we have reinforcements that everybody has, and then we have Thermite and Ibana and Maverick to counter, mm-hmm, that, right? For, like, all these gadgets that we place down, we've got Thatcher and Twitch that just totally ruin that. But for sound, we really have very little of anybody who's, like, messing with that. So I think right. It'd be another cool way to play with the sound a little bit.
Like, why? I will never understand why we haven't done anything with smell to this point.
Like, seriously.
If I could have a guy that had the nose of a fox and could just smell the poop coming out of Hibana, I mean, that would be helpful.
Does Hibana have poop coming out?
I don't know. I was thinking of someone else that's like a baby. I couldn't think of a joke fast enough, so we got that. But anyway, have you ever thought of how cool it would be if you could smell movies and stuff?
Yeah, that was a thing they were working on for a while.
Yeah, they decided it was probably a bad idea.
Yeah, it would be a bad idea. So anyway, random operator ideas. Okay, let's get into a couple of Reddit posts. And also, the Rainbow Six team posted like a field of view and input sensitivity blog post, which is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into that. Let's start with this blog post. So basically, it's a very, very technical guide to how field of view and input sensitivity works in Siege. And so they go through and they've got all these calculations and the modifiers and percentages and like how it all works. And like, I haven't read through it all, but like, there's a lot of very technical information here.
Yeah. This is a very, for someone kind of like Macy J or the pro players that
right.
really are into this, for someone like us that just play, I mean, I play probably 3 times a week. I play Siege at night. It's too much for me. I look at it, I'm just like, I don't want to know.
Not interested.
I don't want to
yeah.
I don't want to care. I just, no, I'm going to act like I never saw that.
Yeah. It feels good. And like, I'm not going to mess with it,
but I'm glad the information's there. I think information like that should be all over their website where you can look at anything and see everything.
Yeah. And if you're that kind of player that like likes to get really into the technical details and like try to optimize stuff, like this post is for you.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I like this direction that they've kind of taken, where they've showed like this is what the attachments do. And then I guess that was actually the video from Rogue Nine. But anyway, were they like, oh no, they did bring out a post on what the attachments do. Rogue Nine just made a nice graph for it. Anyway, they had that, and they brought this out where like, this is the FOV, and this is what happens when you aim down sights with these different graphs. They're different sights, like color, blah, blah, blah. But it'd be cool too to have stuff like, this is a nitro cell, this is the range of lethal damage and the range of regular damage and the multipliers, and this is a frag and the same thing, impact grenades. You know, like have something where you can click on each gadget and see like the range it has, the statistics of every single gadget there is. So it'd be cool to see stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually, now that you bring that up, I'm really excited to see what some of the content creators do with this information, because I'd be really interested to look at like a 8-minute YouTube video breakdown that sort of simplifies it and waters it down for me, right?
Yes.
Where I don't have to sit there and read through the whole thing and try to, because my problem is like, I think I'm with you, where if I read through this thing, I'm going to be like, oh man, like this is why I'm not good. Like this is why I'm losing. I need to fix all these numbers and like, and I'll like get way too like obsessed about it and feel like it's all wrong. And then find out that like, oh, I actually had this setting on the whole time that negated everything that I even changed. So like there was no difference.
Yeah. It's like the, attachments, like having tons and tons of attachments. Right. You just want to know like, what's the best one? Like, what do I put on? What's better? And it's hard to,
right. I don't want that complication. Nope. So, I'd be interested to see if somebody can sort of boil this down into, like, hey, here's the couple of settings that are important and that you should mess with, and, like, don't mess with anything else. Okay, also, I just sent you this other link.
Mm-hmm.
There's new bundles coming out for Maverick and Kavera, and then this Kavera bundle is sweet. So, it's the Scout bundle. So, it's, like, she has, like, a... What do you call that kind of hat?
Like a safari hat, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know what it's like, the soft hat with like the rim that goes all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what those are called, but like it looks super cool. And like she's got this nice like camo, jungle camo outfit and stuff. And then she's got like a little snake charm, which looks pretty cool, actually. I think this is my favorite skin for Kavera. Also, her face paint is like more military.
Yeah. I think this is my favorite skin for Kavera.
Yeah.
Like, this is actually a really good bundle.
I like that. Does she have a legendary?
No.
Elite, rather? Yeah. Okay. I think this looks really good for her. I'm actually kind of interested in that one. And then Mavericks is just sort of a basic jungle camo thing. But
yeah, it looks pretty cool though too. Actually,
it does look
like
cool.
It.
Yeah. So this is cool. Also, I was thinking today, like,
how does the charm that comes with him is like a lobster with a four leaf clover?
Yeah.
How does that
novelty what? Lobster charm and snapping twig weapon skin?
How does that go in with like the jungle look?
I don't know.
Because last time I was in a jungle, I remember there was this lobster on the ground.
I mean, there probably are lobsters in the rivers and the jungles, I would assume.
I guess that could be true.
Or like,
yeah, that may have been a stupid comment.
I don't know. I don't know where lobsters live, to be honest. I don't even know if they're fresh or salt water.
I think there's like there's crabs, lobsters, crawfish. That's like the third one. I think the crawfish are this freshwater.
Well, there you go.
But we don't know. To be honest, I have no idea.
this is a Siege podcast.
What are you talking about? We're talking about Halo half the time.
That's true. It's a Salo, Siege-Halo, Siege-Lo, Siege-Lo podcast.
Heege.
I was thinking for somebody's elite, like for one of the, like the SWAT or the Navy SEALs or something, they should do like either a Revolutionary War or a Civil War outfit. That would be so cool.
Oh, heck yeah. Well, Doc kind of has...
Well, Duck, what does Duck have?
His elite skin's kind of like that Revolutionary War look, medic look.
Well, he's not American.
I know, but...
Hang on, I gotta look at this. Duck,
I mean,
elite
British,
skin.
He's British, though.
No, he's French.
Oh, he is French, that's right.
He has a World War One.
Okay.
That's totally different. No, like, it'd be sweet to have somebody that has, like, American Revolutionary War or American Civil War. Probably
that
Union,
would be
cool. not the Rebels. What is the Rebels called? What was the South called? Confederates.
Oh, Civil War. I was thinking Revolutionary War.
Well,
when
both.
You were saying
that's
that, and I was like,
yeah.
What do you mean the South? What do you mean the South is called? They were.
I will come and attack you with the North.
Yeah, that would be very cool. That's a good skin idea. I would also like to just see naked skin.
Oh, shut up.
You know how distracting that would be?
It would be distracting.
Extremely helpful.
Big dong waving around.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So
your melee attack is different.
Oh, huh? Gosh. This Reddit post is pretty interesting. So this guy, Plasma Scythe on Reddit, posted a GLaaS rework idea called Overpenetration. You want to explain what this is about?
Yeah. So basically his idea is that as GLaaS, their problem with GLaaS is that he's a pusher, right? And so their recommendation for this was to make it so when he goes through smoke, if he's moving, he can't see through it, so he can't push as well. His recommendation is instead make it so that there's the damage drop-off is reversed. So instead, you do less damage when you're close and you do more damage when you're further away.
Mm-hmm.
So it would stop him from being a pusher because he doesn't want to be close because he does way less damage.
Right.
And he still has the pistol to fall back on when he does get close. So it's not like he's useless close up.
Right.
But it does give that more of a GLaaS feel where you want to be further away. You want that further angle.
Totally. And just to be clear, I don't think he's saying instead of the rework that they're doing now. I think he's just, I don't think he's saying instead of or in addition to. I think he's just saying, here's an idea.
Here's an idea, yeah.
But yeah, and then he explains, like, because people are going to say, like, oh, that's so unrealistic. But then he explains, like, well, there's actually this thing in firearms where like over penetration is an issue where like if your bullet is too strong or moving too fast and it just goes straight through your target, it doesn't actually do very much damage. I mean, relative,
right.
It's a bullet, but like it's actually better if it stops in your target. Right. Mm-hmm. And then it does a lot more damage.
Yeah.
And so what he's saying is like, yeah. So if his rifle is so powerful that if you're too close, it just rips right through and doesn't do very much. Whereas if you're far out, then it's going to really like slow down in the body and do some serious damage.
Yeah. And I hate that speech of, oh, it's so unrealistic. It's like, you know, we have invisible drones in this game, right?
Yeah.
Like we have invisible mines on the floor that prick you and then just do damage to you every couple seconds.
Yeah. You know that we have somebody who talks to you before you die and then her whole team magically knows where your whole team is
and can in fall, real time. Like has X-ray vision. Yeah.
Yeah. like, come on. We're not talking about realism here. Again, sentient barbed wire. But yeah, like I think this is kind of a good idea. It would definitely make GLaaS like make it a lot more beneficial to be standing outside far away and like trying to get long shots.
Yeah. And that's the goal with him. I mean, GLaaS is unique in the fact that he can destroy the plane windows. Nobody else can do that, right?
Or shoot through, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. You can shoot through the plane windows. Mm-hmm. No one else can do that.
Which actually I think is really bad now that we've played Plane without GLaaS.
Yeah, it's so much better.
It's a much better map without GLaaS. And like it's stupid.
Gosh.
It's stupid that he has that advantage. And because it either like decimates your team, mm-hmm, because people just aren't being careful enough, or it completely shuts down your ability to move around the map.
Yep.
Or you're attacking and you have an idiot GLaaS who spends the first 2.5 minutes out there, doesn't hit anybody, and then comes in and gets wrecked because it's now 1-on-4.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
that is stupid. This should change.
It's bad.
It is. It's a good idea. It's a really good idea to have that being GLaaS where he needs to be further away. He does more damage.
Yeah. I don't know if I would like it if it actually happened.
Yeah.
But I like it. It's a good thought. Worth exploring. All right, should we get into listener questions?
Let's do it.
Favorite part of the podcast.
Okay. LQs.
If you have questions for us, you can send them to two places. One of those is on Twitter at r6unrenowned, and the even more awesomest one is in our Discord, which we have the link to in the show notes and also on our Twitter account. And if you join that Discord, you will find awesome people to play with, and you can ask us great questions. Also, as long as we're on the topic, if you like us and you want to follow us, you can follow me at VG Fiasco on Twitch and YouTube.
And I'm just low at 3 O's on those same platforms.
Okay, so we don't actually have any Twitter questions for this week, but let's go ahead and get right into the Discord. You want to take the first one?
Okay, right before we get into podcast questions, on our play day, Tanker89 actually had a really good idea about the newcomer playlist. He said it'd be really cool if the newcomer playlist would rotate the maps like every week or maybe every other week. So for 2 weeks, you're learning these three maps and you mm-hmm. finally get a hold of them. And then after that, it rotates and does another three maps. And you start learning those maps. So this way, instead of just having the three maps that you know really well and knowing nothing else,
mm-hmm.
you like get a good feel for all the maps because you keep playing them over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And they rotate through so you can start learning new maps
I like and that. Like, what maps are currently in that playlist?
So it was kind of a weird list. I think it was Chalet.
I'll pull it up.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, it's Bank, Consulate, and Chalet.
Bank, Consulate, and Chalet, that's what it is. Which are good maps to know, really good maps to play the game on, but it'd be cool if we would just rotate those.
Yeah, I think the idea here, too, is that Bank, Consulate, and Chalet are like pretty straightforward and simple to understand, and like they're sort of good for new players in that way. So like I really like that those three choices.
Yeah.
But I also like what you're saying. I wouldn't want to do it like often because I think you want to have that consistency. Because just like this, like if you're new and you're playing, like that doesn't necessarily mean you're playing like 10 hours a week, right?
Right.
You might just be like rotating in and out every now and then. So I think it'd be nice to extend that maybe a little longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I don't think I would rotate every single map in. I think it would be a smaller selection of maps still, to keep it to like the more straightforward types of maps.
Yeah, maybe just do the road to SI maps.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to think. So, well, Bank, Consulate, and Chalet, those are not all road to SI. Chalet's not.
Yeah, I guess.
And
so.
Bank is.
Yeah.
I would probably do Oregon. Which I know Oregon's kind of a little bit of a maze, but I think it has, like, once you figure it out, it's not too bad. And I think that gives you a little bit more of a feel for a different kind of map that Siege has.
For sure. It lets you, and being playing it so often, you can learn it.
Right.
Like, when we learned that, we were playing that once in 10 times,
right.
Theoretically.
Right. And we learned, let's see, I guess Hereford. I mean, Hereford's pretty straightforward, but anyway. I think Coastline would be a good one to work in there.
Mm-hmm.
Border would be good.
Clubhouse?
I don't think I'd do Clubhouse. Clubhouse is pretty rough.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the advantage is you're giving them a better venue to learn those maps, right? And so, like, if you're going to have to learn a rough map, it'd be nice to do it in the smaller playlist where you can focus on it. So, I don't know. I still might not do it just because there's a lot of spawn peeking on Clubhouse. And Oregon, too.
Yeah.
Oregon has a lot of spawn peeking.
Bank is bad at spawn peeking.
That's true.
So is Chalet, too.
I don't know, honestly. I gather all that way. For some reason, Clubhouse
Bank,
doesn't seem good.
Bank, Consulate, Chalet,
Bank, Consulate. Also, I might do Outback. Outback is pretty good. But I don't know. Yeah, it'd be cool. I would be careful with how often you do it because I think that kind of defeats the purpose. But I do like the idea.
It's a good idea. I just thought we needed to mention it so the PP could come in and maybe make that happen.
Podcast power. Okay. So getting back to one of our questions from last episode. So Ranger Havni, I still don't know how to say your name.
That's a good guess, I think.
Yeah, he had sent in a bunch of operator ideas. So we actually just picked out our three favorites, and we'll talk about those three this week. So Satyr. Satyr is a female 3-1 attacker. Does that mean 3-speed, I'm assuming?
3-speed, 1-armor.
Okay, 3-speed, 1-armor attacker. 13th SOC of Greece, carries a deployable health kit that lasts for 50 seconds and heals teammates in the radius for 2 ticks per second. She has a SAS DMR and a Molot SG for primaries and an UMP sidearm. I like this idea of basically a health drone or like a regen field or, you know, whatever. Like, we've seen this in a bunch of different kinds of games. I don't know about like his specific timing, 50 seconds and 2 ticks or whatever, but I think it'd be cool to have somebody that has an area of effect heal. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it is a cool idea. I think it's hard to get to because she has to put it down. You have to go to it, right? Where like Doc can shoot you across a room or something.
Right.
But then she can potentially heal 100 of your health if you're there the whole time. And so like it can really help teammates. If it lasts for 50 seconds, someone can get there 25 seconds later and still get 50 health back.
Yeah.
And it can do multiple people at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really good idea. I think it'd be cool.
So
I don't think it's OP either.
Let's talk about like the mechanics of it to understand like how do we make this not OP. So like I kind of think it should be something that you have to like plant down, you know, like an evil eye or whatever. Like,
yeah.
You can't just like toss it across the room. What do you think?
No, yeah, I think that's true. I think it's something that you can't just, it's not like a black eye that you can throw to someone.
Right.
You have to actually put it down. They have to come to it.
Yeah. So I think you put it down sort of like a Tachanka turret is like a better example. Like it takes a good amount of time to put it down. And then I think like she has to activate it after that. So maybe she could place it ahead of time in the prep phase or something, and I'm like, here's where it is. And then maybe it has like a little weak point that, that Twitch could shoot. Maybe it has like two or three little circuit boards, and she has to hit two or three of them or whatever to like destroy it or something. But like, yeah, have it like she puts it down and then she hits a button to activate it. It lasts for however long, and then maybe she gets two uses or something. Yeah. So if that's the case, you wouldn't want to have it last for too long, but I think that'd be cool. And then if she could pick it up and move it to somewhere else or whatever.
Yeah, you could have your own. We have our, what we call the security room, where we put Echo and Maestro. No, what do we call it? Conference. No. There's the C.
I have no idea.
You know what I'm talking about? Wherever we have Maestro and Echo, wherever we go.
Oh, control room.
The control room. We have the control room, so you'd have the healing room.
Yes.
Guys, the vault's the healing room.
Yeah, it's like building a fort when you're a kid. It's like, we definitely did this. Where it's like, oh, this is the reading room, and like you'd crawl in, and like that room was only for reading, and we'd have a bunch of books, and like, oh, this is like the video game room. And we just thought it was so cool to have like rooms dedicated to activities. It's so stupid.
But it works. It's smart.
Yeah. No.
That's a thing in houses too. Like, this is the family room. This is This is your bedroom. You're only allowed to go to your bedroom if you're gonna go to bed.
I do.
Family room's only for family activity.
Yes. I do love the control room idea though. It's always fun to be like, okay, Echo and Maestro, get in the control room.
Right. The living room's only for living, not for the dead.
All right. Tell us about Ranger Havni's idea for Seder.
Well, we just talked about her, so I'll go ahead and talk about Chip instead.
Oh, yeah.
He's a male 2-speed, 2-armor attacker of the Indian Ghatak Force. He has a drone that drops 3 mines where he wants them on the map. It's not used during the drone phase. He has a normal drone, too. He has a Beretta SMG like Alibi and the FNF 2000 AR for primaries and P9 machine pistol for sidearm. So basically, he has a special drone that he throws, and he can put mines down on the map somewhere.
Yeah.
Which... basically like a Legion, but more powerful, I assume. We don't know if it's going to kill them or not, which I assume just kind of does damage.
I would think not lethal. That seems a little powerful. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea of like sending in an automated thing to go in and like drop little traps for the defenders.
Yeah, I like that idea of controlling. That's why I think of why I love Echo so much, because he has like a little thing that you control and like move around and stuff. I still really want some sort of drone that you can drive to like a reinforced wall. You can like jump it onto the wall and have it attach itself and explode.
Yeah.
It would be so cool. Oh, yeah, it would be so cool.
I mean, like, you think about special forces and like SWAT and stuff now, and like they have like little drones that go and disarm bombs, and like they use drones for a lot of things, I feel like. And like for Siege sort of being this like futuristic tactical or like sort of sci-fi tactical thing, like it seems like we're not using drones as effectively as we could in this space.
Yeah,
so I think it'd be cool to have something like that. I definitely would not make them lethal. I think that'd be way OP. But it'd be cool to like have something, even if it's just like some sort of like camera or like trip alarm or something. Like, it'd be cool to have somebody who drives in a drone and puts some sort of like plants a gadget from a drone. That'd be sweet. Okay. Last one we're going to talk about here is Albi. So he is a male 1-3 attacker from Delta Force. That's a 1-speed, 3-armor. He has a 3-round rocket launcher that destroys large radii of soft breach and destroys reinforcements in 2 hits. He has an MP10, an AR-15 primaries, and a UMP SMG sidearm. So sort of like an Ash, more or less, but it does more damage, like wider damage, it sounds like, to soft walls, and then he can break hard walls in 2 hits. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a good like opportunity to have another
hard breacher.
The problem with this one is I think he's gonna be hard to counter, right? If he can just like hit it with something, like does a mute jammer stop it from actually exploding, or does
I wouldn't think so.
Bandit destroy it before it can actually explode?
Because
I wouldn't think it did, Bandit, would either.
No, I don't. Like, it's just on impact, right? So it would just blow up.
So I would think it'd be hard to...
Jaeger would stop it.
But
if you have an ADS outside the thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard, though, if you're hitting the garage. Like...
Right, sure. But if it takes 2, and maybe he only has 2 instead of 3.
Yeah,
well, but like, still, if he has three, he can only do 1 still.
Yeah, but I still feel like it's like, now I'm a hard breacher that can't be countered.
Sure.
Like, I shoot it twice at your mirror window. Too bad.
Is that a problem?
Yeah, I think so.
I think the gut reaction is yes, but like, let's think about it. Like,
Because what would you do? Like, you lose Garage on Chalet every time if he's picked. And that can be a problem. Like, that's part of the strategy of Chalet is, like, let's hold the Garage or Consulate. I guess a lot of times, like, people just kind of let it happen because it's going to happen anyway.
Right.
But if you can hold it, it's a huge advantage to you. And if you can pick someone that you know for sure is going to break it no matter what, like, why not pick them?
Maybe there's an operator that has super hard reinforcements.
Ooh.
Reinforced, or
maybe
reinforced.
You can, like, maybe instead of your two reinforcements, you put down one super reinforcement.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
I don't know, interesting. I like it. I like the idea of somebody who can breach, well, I guess we already have Ash who does this, and Sophia, breach soft walls from a distance. But actually, I really just want shrapnel. Our idea for a guy who just shrapnel, like, shoots shrapnel through soft walls. That'd be so sweet.
Moving on to Tanker 89 question. He asked, with them already doing skins and charms now for operator birthdays, what do we think will be next, if anything, speaking more like a gadget skin or something like that? I think that would be way cool to have, like, a birthday event or whatever for the operator. The challenge is you get, like, a different looking breaching round charge thing. What is it called? Ashes breaching round thing?
Breaching round?
Is that what the gadget's called?
Oh, well, yeah, something like that.
Anyway, it'd be cool if a launcher or whatever. Anyway, it'd be cool to have, like, a distinct gadget because you did this challenge. That's the only way you can get it, is just doing the challenge. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think we said a bunch of times that we would love the idea of, like, unlocking actual stuff based on doing something in the game that's, like, unique. So, yeah, that'd be cool. It'd be good, too, if these were, like, tied to events. Because, like, you know, we've talked many times about the problem of, like, well, okay, if you have some people trying to get sledgehammer kills, then, like, they're throwing games to try to get sledgehammer kills. But it's, like, make it part of an event, you know? There's a two-week event where, like, if you can get two sledgehammer kills or three sledgehammer kills, then you unlock this special thing or whatever. And then it's, like, you know, then it's not ruining anybody's time.
Agreed.
Johnny Bravo asked, do you guys feel like people are afraid to play Castle Tachanka and Clash because of toxic backlash? I unlocked Clash as my first and didn't play her till around level 60 because of this. Also, maybe I was just playing her wrong, but it's hard to play her without someone following you. So, no, you're right. It's hard to play Clash without teamwork. That's 100%. As far as people, like, not playing them, I think, honestly, I think people don't play them because they're hard to be effective with.
Yeah, I think Castle and Tachanka maybe not so much for the toxic backlash. Clash and Lion do kind of fall into this category where you play them and people, like, get mad at you for playing them because, like, oh wow, you're playing Clash, or, like, oh wow, of course Lion, and then they play Lion the next round. Mm-hmm. Or they play Clash. That is kind of a thing people do, kind of like, I'm not gonna play Clash, I just don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. I almost think he's talking more about teammates, though. Like,
but yeah, teammates, I don't. No, I'm not ever afraid to play Clash because of my teammates being toxic to me.
I do think that, like, the designer's notes, I think they sort of reinforce people's feelings about somebody like Castle or Tachanka or Clash, and then they're like, oh, well, I'm definitely not playing Clash because look where she is on the win rate thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, but if your win rate with Clash is, like, 1.2, why do you care that other people can't win with Clash?
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't make any sense. But I think that's a thing where it's like people are like, oh, Clash is bad. Clash is bottom tier. I'm not going to play Clash. And it's like, well... Yeah. I mean, come on. It's not necessarily the case for everybody.
Banana Splat asks, what is your favorite campaign level from Halo CE and why is it library? It is not library.
No, although I don't think library is as bad as people give it crap. Let's talk about library for a second. So if you're not familiar with Halo CE, library is the level that everybody points to as, like, this is why Halo CE's campaign design is bad. And, like, I just
Do people think that?
A lot of people do think that.
Oh, okay.
They're cherry picking their evidence. I agree with them on some points, but they're cherry picking. And then, they're like, I just got stuck on the library. I never made it past that. It's too hard and all this stuff. Okay. Library is very hard. What library is, it's a super flood infested installation, and it's designed to be a maze. Like, you are supposed to get lost in the library. That's sort of the point. And so, like, you sort of just, like, it's like a big, like, donut shaped facility. And you sort of, like, you work your way all the way around the circle, and then you get to the elevator point, and you go up to the next level, and you work your way all around the circle, and you do that four times, basically. And so it's easy to get lost. But if you're paying attention, number one, it's easy to see, like, if you get turned around, it's easy to see, like, oh, there's a bunch of bodies back here. Obviously, I've been here and killed a bunch of things. And number two, there are arrows lit up, like flashing on the floor. If you're paying enough attention, they're pointing you exactly the direction to go. Also, 343 Guilty Spark is guiding you through most of the facility. So it shouldn't be that hard.
It is also the flood at that point. It's like your second time facing them. The level before that is the first time you hear the flood, first time you see them.
Right.
So you don't really know how to kill them. So if it's your first time playing Halo and you get to the library, you're trying to shoot them with like an assault rifle or something,
you're going
to
have a bad time.
Eventually learn it's shotgun and pistol only against the flood.
Yeah. And that's the first time you get, I think, a shotgun against the flood. Cause mm-hmm. I don't think the level before that has shotguns.
Yeah.
And so once you figure out that secret, like, oh yeah, frags and shotguns and just keep my distance and watch out for the rocket launchers. And like, it's fine. I mean, like it is hard and like, it's meant to be hard and it's confusing and all that. But like, I think it gets way too much crap. Like there are much worse levels in Halo campaigns than the library. Cortana, I'm looking at you.
Oh, yeah,
bad. My favorite campaign level from Halo CE. It's such a hard question because there's so many good ones. I want to say Silent Cartographer, but then I also don't because it's just so like.
I like that one. I think Assault on the Control Room is probably my favorite.
That's probably my favorite too. I really like Truth and Reconciliation, so that's the one where like at night where you start with a sniper rifle. It's sort of like winds down once you get inside the ship. It's not as good as the first half is. And then Silent Cartographer, that's the one with the beach landing. Like that's the best opening of any campaign mission in any game ever. Like I will fight that fight to the death. Like Silent Cartographer is so good. Such a good opening. Actually, there's an article on Kotaku about how that's the best campaign level in all FPS. And it's like a really like well thought out article. Like you should search that. But I think Assault on the Control Room because it has so much variety. It like you get to play with all the different kinds of vehicles and like there's huge fights. You basically get your choice of any kind of weapon you want. There's interior, there's big exterior, like there's flying, there's everything.
There's snow.
And there's snow. Yeah, it's a snow level. So it's really it's the best the game has to offer all in one mission.
Yeah.
Really fun.
I think that's probably my favorite level. It's the one I go to when I'm going to play a Halo campaign. I start on Assault and Control Room just because
it's so fun. It's so fun. Also, the second level called Halo.
Halo.
That's so fun. It's like
Halo's good.
Especially like if trying to take myself back to like the first time I played it or whatever, just remembering like encountering certain enemies for the first time and like the first time you get in a Warthog, it's like it's so amazing. Yeah. Sniper rifle is the first time you see that gun and like oh man that like it's just it's so open and like it's
and just like so the cool. Idea of like you're saving Marines like
right
your goal is to go save these guys
it's cool. Super fun and just great scenery and everything so don't get us started on Halo man like you guys are you're playing with fire here.
So Holdfast asks if we think Tachanka needs a buff. We've talked about this before. He does definitely. We don't know how to do it. The number two question, how long have you played Rainbow? Not sure if you've answered this in previous podcasts or not. Please tell us. So I'm sure we have a lot of new listeners since we've started. We've mentioned this a couple of times, but we've been playing since beta of Rainbow Six Siege, which was October of 2015.
Yeah. Holy crap. I didn't put in that perspective. 3.5 years.
Yeah. I took a 2-year hiatus from Siege while I was gone, so I don't have as much time into it as I would like, but...
But, yeah. 3.5 years. And it's been super fun, and like... One thing I'll say about like starting that early with Siege, like the beta was rough as far as like connection and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like we recognized how amazing the game was like from the start. And like we spent so much time waiting in lobbies and like restarting the game and trying just to get it to work at like literally like an hour between games sometimes, just like everybody restarting, everybody resetting their network and like doing all this stuff. And like we finally get a game and it was so much fun. It was totally worth the wait and everything. And then it came out and like most of that stuff was fixed. Like largely like the matchmaking was great. And then like people just have this perception for some reason that like it had a really rough launch and I really don't think it did. So that's something I always want to combat. Every time I see people say that, I'm like, no, it was fine. Like,
yeah, it was not nearly as bad as people are trying to make it out to be.
Right. Like, I mean, it wasn't,
I was able to find games and I was able to connect to my friends
without a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get off my van wants to know, what if Vigil was a walking mute jammer? We actually had this idea for an operator on that same podcast I mentioned before. I like that idea. I don't think I would mess Vigil up to be that.
No. I think it'd be cool to have him, though, because, like, think, like, I just always go to Chalet Garage. I feel like it's the easiest. Like, you have your walking me, Jeremy. He's standing on Chalet Garage, and someone's like, oh, I need help over here. He's like, I can't move. I must stand here.
I can't leave.
Or, like, you're... something else is happening, and or someone starts getting dokabeed, and you're like, oh, let me, I'm coming, hold on. Here I come. Let me cleanse you. It'd be fun. It'd be fun to have a walking mute jammer. I like, I don't know how it would work in action when you really think about it, but it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, like, we had this idea, and I think it was a really good one. I think Vigil is probably, like, if you try to add that to what Vigil can do, that'd be super OP, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Yeah, let's do it. Let's get this guy in there.
A7X4Live521 barely got this question in actually while we were recording.
Good timing. He just made it.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. No kidding. Good job. One day, he was Googling different gadgets that are used by militaries and CTUs. He found something called the Prism 200C Backpack. You latch it to a wall, and it does a 3D scan of the room behind and detects movement. The scans would show on a gridded screen on the backpack itself, and those scans would show as dots from a top-down perspective of the room.
Mm.
I think that's actually really cool, because if you get to, like, say you can't put it on a reinforced wall.
Yeah, soft walls only.
Yeah, I just said say you can put it on a reinforced wall.
Like, I thought you were saying can't.
No, can. Basically, say you can put it on any wall. First of all, you have to stand out there and put it down and have it, like, load up the scan. You have to, like, sit there and look at it, like, see where they are. But it would be cool to have that there and be like, okay, I know it's not really, I don't feel like it's overpowered because it's not like a wall. Like, it is a wall hacking away, but it's not like you see the dot and know exactly where they are and, right, like, can shoot them,
right,
shoot their head. But I think it'd actually be a good way to gather intel and kind of...
It only detects movement? So, like, if they're standing still, it wouldn't be a problem? Yeah,
it looks like it just detects movement.
Yeah, so I kind of like that idea. I would think that you shouldn't be able to put it on a hard wall.
Okay,
just like, I guess it doesn't matter, because if it's on a hard wall, then you can't really shoot through it. So, like, what's the harm?
Yeah.
That just sort of gives you, like, an idea before you breach.
Yeah, it would help if, like, you had, like, a... buck or someone above, and you're like, okay, he's in this corner of the room,
northwest corner, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like this idea.
I think it's a good idea. It's interesting. This is something actually used. That's cool. They have something that does a 3D scan of a room from behind a wall, and it detects movement.
Yeah.
What the freak?
I didn't know
they had that.
It's amazing. Also, this reminded me of one, like, random complaint I have. In a couple of maps, like Coastline and I think Consulate, there's, like, security offices that have, like, TV screens showing security cameras, but they're not actually live feeds. They're just, like, screenshots of the room. Like, why can't we have actual security camera feeds in these security rooms? Like, that's part of the game.
Yeah, people, like, complain, like, oh, well, it'll be too hard on, like, the game to do that. It's like, well, no, they have that in, like, 007. There's a room where you can go inside and you see a security camera and it's a real live feed of what's actually happening.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's a thing that was made in games forever ago.
Yeah, I think it'd be fine. And I think it'd be cool, like, especially, like, because there's some of them that show a different angle that doesn't actually exist on the real security cams. Mm-hmm. It'd be kind of cool. It's like, yeah, you can actually only see this camera from
this room.
This spot. I guess the one thing is that, like, there's no actual camera there, so the defenders wouldn't, or the attackers wouldn't be able to, like, shoot it out.
Yeah. What's funny is on Clubhouse, they also have that room, the security room or whatever, and it shows the bar, but it shows they may have fixed this now, but when they updated Clubhouse, it shows the old bar of how it used to look. So it's completely inconsistent now. It's like,
they should totally keep that just as, like, as an Easter egg.
Just like a funny,
yeah,
it might, like, still be there.
Hey, remember when it used to be this?
But anyway, it's funny.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I think it'd be cool if you could actually,
like, have someone in there, like,
yeah, it'd be sweet if somebody could see all the cameras at once.
Yeah,
like, it'd be cool.
It'd be cool. It'd
be fun. Anyway,
they're, like, getting super close to their screen and, like, zooming in on the ACOG on the camera because they're like, who is that? Oh, I think it's Ash.
Okay. Yeah, if you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you can get it right into your feed every week. Also, if you wouldn't mind leaving us a review on the old Apple Podcasts, that really helps us out. And share it with your buddies, you know, tweet it out and do the things and invite people to Discord and help us out, guys.
Do the things.
Do word of mouth. That's what we're living by. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We will hit you with a new episode next Wednesday, as always.
Is that what it is? Word of mouth? What's, is that the right phrase?
Yeah.
Word of
mouth? Spreading by word of mouth.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just goodbye.